Now, we're examining some things from Derek Prince. So, we may not read it again, but then, just remember, please, either get the tape or buy the book or borrow the book. Whichever one you do, read the book, all right? Or listen to the tape by Derek Prince when he was talking about shaping history through prayer. He talked about, in fact, this morning again, I was reading certain portions of it in preparation for today's meeting, you know, and he there's a section entitled Kenya's Birth Pangs, and it described how the problems that happened around Kenya was deflected away from Kenya by reason of the united prayer of the people of God, okay? And that the people of God joined together in prayer. And even during the meeting, somebody saw a vision. And the vision was played out later in the kind of calamity that happened around them and that shifted, that was started from the east and shifted northward. It was moving towards Kenya, but by reason of their prayer, it was deflected and then the thing moved northward. But if you can, lay your hands on the book or the tape and it really be a blessing to you. But in continuation of what we're saying then, there was one scripture I said you should open to, right? I hope it's 56. Okay. All right. So now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 56 and then examine it and close with that. It said, all you beasts of the field, all you beasts in the forest, come to it. His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber, and the dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. We have explained that from this scripture we see that watchmen are meant to see. Do you understand my point? Because here we are seeing a rebuke of the watchmen that don't see. But that the scripture says that watchmen are meant to see. And that, let me just run through it, that they are not to be dreamers lying down. That is, they are people who, after they have dreamt, they are meant to get up and do something. All right, we won't go into all of that. I think we've talked about all those things in details in previous times. That they are not supposed to be people who are greedy, that are not satisfied, but they are those who should be content with what they have. But believing God for better things ahead, they are supposed to be people of understanding, but not shepherds without understanding. Now, they are not to turn to their own gain, not their own personal gain alone, but that to seek for the prosperity of the land and the peace of it that God has sent them into. Do you understand my point? I've just broken these things down again. We have read them again and again in the past. But first thing, or the most important thing here that I want to pass some comments on is this issue of the watchmen that are blind. Do you follow me? Now, let's settle on that and speak. I said that watchmen are meant to see. That's why there is a rebuke here concerning watchmen that are blind. What do I mean by blindness? There is a story I want to tell, and something I want to use as an illustration. A real thing that used to happen long ago. And it's funny, I just remembered it while after reading this scripture recently, when I was in secondary school. I remember those days, we had this teacher who used to teach us. I mean, it was the original, not SU. SU would be a bit too mild to describe what the kind of person that he was. He was used to teach us the scriptures in secondary school. And it was a very, very deep kind of SU. You know what I mean? Those who absolutely, the world was not their own. In that he loved to look dirty. I mean, he took pride in being dirty. He could wash his clothes, but he wouldn't wash them. He had good shoes, but he wouldn't wear them. And he even allowed skin, you know, rashes to appear on his skin just as a sign of holiness. He taught us accordingly anyway, so you understand, I'm not just imagining things. It was a big challenge to continue to go to fellowship, although we were very young, Sha. All right. No, you know, sometimes when I think about it, I say, look, although those are not the most important things of life, all right? And nobody will give me an excuse that that's why I'm not serving God, all right? But again, that is a good hindrance. Somebody may want to serve God, you make it harder to make up his or her mind. I remember one of my friends, a pastor now in one of these big denominations in Nigeria. He told me once when I was in our fourth year in university, we're in the same class. He told me that after he observed my friend Chooks and I, that he decided that it was time that he gave his life back to Christ. His reason was that we're always so happy and excited. You understand my point? So he said he discovered, the guy's name is Emeka. He said he discovered that it is possible to be a Christian and still be happy. Just by observing, we're classmates, so we're not preaching to him. In fact, I think we will have passed for some by to a lot of people as being very, very unserious as Christians then and very, very responsible. But, you know, but to him, this was like, ah, so you can be a child of God and still be laughing in class and be happy and excited. So next thing we knew, by the end, but towards the end of our third year, the guy was back in fellowship and serving the Lord. It was in our fourth year that he was just telling me the story. That honestly, that was this guy and me that just made it clear that it's good. It can be a Christian and can be happy. All right, no, so back to my story. So this my guy then, that's my teacher. I had a friend who was just as deep as he was. They're very nice. God bless their heart. They taught us very early in those days. But there was one thing that he said once. This was around 84. That must be 84. When did Buhari take over from Ishagari? It was December 31st, right? Was it December 31st, 83? Look at this man. He said 79. Go away, my friend. 79 was when Ishagari won the election. How did he mean? Wasn't born there. It was shortly after the second elections, all right? So it was December 83. So this was 84. I remember that was the year I left secondary school. Yeah. So one day we were walking with this man and his friend, and they were explaining to us, I remember along the field in my school, we were following them home or something, helping them carry stuff, I guess. So they were explaining to us why we should be far away from the world. Now the example he gave, that's where I'm going to. That, can you believe that the other day somebody was asking him, that they mentioned the name of somebody. Can you remember the name now? So we suggested some names. Finally, he got it. Idiagmo. And that he didn't know. He doesn't care about the things of this world. He doesn't know. You know, as young as I was then, I thought, Ogasa, this is very irresponsible. Now, who was Idiagmo? Idiagmo was the de facto vice head of state, you know. He was then, what do they call them now? Chief of Staff, Supreme Headquarters. Which, by the structure in the military government in Nigeria, then that was the number two man in Nigeria. Ah, Babatunde Idiagmo. This man said he did not know him. And they had been in office at this point for about 4 months. And this man said he did not know who Idiagmo was. And he was trying to make it clear to us that it is because he's detached from the world. Listen to me, that is blindness for a watchman. That's where I'm going to. How can you tell me that you don't even know when the clouds are gathering and your name is Elijah and you are praying for rain? Do you get the point I am making? It shows me, therefore, you are not praying for the leaders of your country. I have told you before that abstract prayers don't have meaning. Lord, I just pray for the leaders, even though you don't know whether there are three of them or one of them. Do you understand my point? You say that you are just praying. Now, what am I saying? Watchmen are meant to see. They are not meant to be blind. It is blindness on the part of a watchman for him to tell me that 4 months into the arrival of a government in office, that the notorious ruler, because you know, Idiagmo was very notorious. What I mean by notorious was that everybody said this man didn't smile. He was the one that just ordered the drug dealers to be shot. You know, they write decrees and backdate it. And you tell me you do not know that he exists in person. It is obvious you are not praying. Do you understand my point? You are so detached from the land that God has sent you into, figuratively speaking, as an exile, you are not seeking the good of that land. How do you expect to see prosperity therein? What am I saying? Listen, ask questions. If you are going to pray effectively for the country, you have to understand the things that at least are simple enough. They say Professor Charles Soludo has increased bank capitalization to 25 billion naira. Don't tell me you never heard of it. Come on, you must. Are you blind? You know what I mean? Are you a blind watchman? Come on, you are not. You should know what is going on in your societies. You should know that NLC is planning to call a strike. You understand my point? These are issues. You are praying pointedly. You know something that's about to happen. You know, Derek Prince told a story in that book about when, I think it was Joseph Stalin. He heard that Joseph Stalin was plotting the extermination of Russian Jews. They heard, they knew something was about to happen. And they gathered and they prayed, and the man died suddenly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, we should not say that we do not know what is going on, and we think that that is holiness. A lot of times, that is irresponsibility. Let me tell you what, it can be very comfortable to be irresponsible. You understand my point? You don't owe anybody anything. You know, there are men who, the reason why they don't want to marry is not out of righteousness or holiness, but this inherent, you know, they are just irresponsible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, they cannot understand why they have to account for somebody when they get back home. They are used to just hanging out. Do you understand my point? It is not for the kingdom's sake. Not like Paul. No, it's just that now he spends his money anyhow. Now he has to take care of other people. Then the child will sneeze one day. He has to check why the child is sneezing. The guy says, I better save me all the trouble. You understand my point? That's what I mean by irresponsibility. Sometimes it's very comfortable to be responsible. It's just that, listen, everything God expects you to do, let me just chip it in again, has a reward. Do you follow my point? The way you've been following the economic situation of the country and praying accordingly, that is what you will be doing one day when God will open your eyes and say, oh boy, put 50 naira there. And you say, you know, light will just come and you will drop 50 naira. After 2 years, it becomes $50 million. It happens. You understand my point? It's that kind of thing that will happen. It's a reward for the watchmen. I'm explaining that watchmen are not meant to be blind. They are meant to do what? See. It's in accordance with what they are seeing. There are two kinds of sight that you must have. Number one, you must have sight into what God will want. Last time we explained as an example, the issue of justice in the land. That every time there is injustice, God is displeased. You understand my point? And as a child of God, as a watchman in the land, you must not let that just pass as if, now so it be. There's one very great mistake and error that people indulge in. And that's when they give these things as an example of the sign of the end of times. That it shows that the end of time has come. Let me just tell you, what the Bible called the end of the ages started after the resurrection. So get that clear. I mean, Paul, and no, let me leave Paul out. It's not good to sound too spiritual. Men who invented, people like Michael Faraday, who experimented with electricity. People like Thomas Edison, who designed the electric bulb, who started Graham Bell. People who made life comfortable for you today, if they had been waiting for the end of days to come, you know that right now, life would just be as unbearable as it was many decades ago, many centuries ago. But they were waiting for the end of time, but doing the assignment they have had for the day. Get that clear. I remember many years ago, I was talking with a sister, and I'm just explaining to her why we need to pray for the nation. And why, you know, this was during the June 12th crisis, and things were really difficult in the country then. In fact, let me tell you what, there was absolute lawlessness. It was God that just reordered law and order into this country. Because I remember then, Ernest Shonekan went to a state. It was the then head of state, interim head of state anyway. And the governor of the state went and warned him seriously never to come into his state without telling him he's coming. I mean, strange things were happening. Then there was a strike declared. If you had fuel, of course, filling stations were closed. If you had fuel and you were driving down, thoughts will stop you on the road and say, did you not hear that everybody should stay at home? In fact, for moving around, they will carry your car, siphon all the fuel inside, put in a jerry can and carry it away on the road and leave you stranded. That is because you have fuel. That's why you were traveling. There was a lot of lawlessness at that point in time. Now, this was around the season I was explaining to somebody that we need to pray for the nation. And you know what she told me? He said, look, I don't agree with everything you have said. That as far as I am concerned, these are the signs of the end of time. I said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you to tell you that Jesus will return only to Nigeria? Is Jesus not planning to go to South Korea where they are making technological advancements every day and their GDP is just jumping into the sky? I said, oh, foolish Galatians, nobody has told you that when this Jesus will come back, he will also arrive in America, who they were developing technology that was mind-blowing and they had peace and order in their land. I said, explain to me the mount in Nigeria where the Lord Jesus intends to set his feet when he comes back. Which kind of stupidity and ignorance is this? Because we don't want to challenge our faith and kneel down and say, God, restore order and peace and prosperity to our land. We say it is the sign of the end of time. I've told you before, if somebody tells me and gives it to me as an authentic gist, and I do believe him that the Lord is coming back next week, what will I do before he comes back? I will go to work. As long as I have not resigned my appointment, I will go to work. If it's a Saturday that is coming, we will not gather here and say, brethren, Let us just wait. Peradventure he will meet us here. That will be very stupid on my part. I will do what is required of me that day. I will teach the word of God in this very place. Peradventure he will arrive. Do you understand my point? And find me idling. And he says, Bank, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting. He said, have you not read that blessed is the servant who the master returns to find doing what he's supposed to do? Is that not in the scriptures? Do you understand my point? Listen to me. Jesus is coming soon. It's not an excuse for not doing your job. Are you getting my point? You and I know that those who say Jesus was coming soon are usually the poor people. Rich men, believers that have money, believe he's coming soon. They still keep on making more money and making more progress in the land. It's true. You know, there are certain doctrines that are only fitting for poverty situations. You understand my point? When people have no productivity in their hands, it is easy to explain that Jesus is coming soon. That's why I'm not productive. But for the believer, the child of God, that God has caused to be productive, who is investing $1 billion today and making 100 million, billion naira tomorrow and building structures and giving scholarships and bringing food to the needy and all that. Jesus is coming today, yes. But before he comes, let me go and feed the refugees first. Peradventure, he'll meet me serving food to the refugees. But as for the man waiting, say, Jesus is coming. The Lord comes and says, okay, I have come. What are you doing? I was just waiting. All right, here is the reward for waiting. Nothing. But when I arrive, since you don't know when exactly I will arrive, make sure you are doing what I expect you to do. Watchmen are meant to see. Now, because of our time, and then I want to end this series of teachings today, I want to just summarize that too. I was just going to pick that word essentially. That is, when you have, in fact, good enough, I mentioned something about dreams. You have a dream and a vision as a watchman who is watching in faith. You should be ready to invest money into the land. You know, we talked about that when we were talking about sowing in tears. You know, today I was talking to the pastor of my church, and he was telling me a discussion I had with somebody last week. And without giving the details, he said the man lived in the U.S. for about 20 years, and he's a Nigerian. He's back in Nigeria, and the guy is in this town. He's investing scores of millions of naira into businesses and all that. And that the guy was telling him that, man, it's amazing that he can't live in the U.S. again. That Nigeria is too lucrative for him to live in the U.S. You understand? That there's so much action. You know, after now I can give you some of the gist, but I won't put it on tape. All right? There's so much action that's going on. This is Enugu here. And this guy is pumping money as an investment into the land. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is not dreamers who love to slumber. Not dreamers who are just lying down. But dreamers who have woken up and believing that God, as I sow my seed, you will pour water upon the seed I have sown. Please, for time's sake, I'll just refer anyone listening to this to go and listen to the tape, the one in the spiritual economic series. I want to talk about sowing in tears and then water for your seed. All right? Because that will explain the issue. It's people who have a stake in a place that can cry effectively. You know, I was thinking about all these things that happened in this nation. You know, the other day, you know, I think I mentioned it to us here also, that Nigeria is uniquely favored. It was when I was reading Derek Prince's story about all the countries in Africa that gained their independence around that 1960 axis, give or take a few years, and the amount of problems that came with it. I said, Nigeria was one nation that went, initially was stable for some time, then went into a civil war and came out of it, and that was the end of it. Do you understand my point? There were no rebels hiding somewhere, shooting people passing on the road, or blowing up cars like they are doing in Iraq now. It never happened in Nigeria. The war ended and everybody was happy. Plus the man who won, and the one who lost, and the one who fought, and the one who did not fight. Everybody was just glad that this thing has come to an end. Do you understand my point? Now, let me tell you what that... it happened, so we don't think about it. But that was not natural. Do you understand my point? If you look at the other stories around, you will know that it wasn't natural. If I was when I was reading Derek Prince, and I remember people like Elton, I said, peradventure, now this is just my thinking. There's people like him, probably at that time, that was praying for the land. Now, the man was a white man who came and lived and died here. Do you understand my point? Maybe at that time, the guy will be the one praying, say, God, this has to come to an end. All right, enough of hostilities. And he will be declaring into the air. And for his sake, God will bring that thing to an end. Because, in fact, God didn't tell me this, and I didn't have a vision that saw him doing it. But I just look at it that most of those great ministers in Nigeria, Adeboye, W.F. Kumi, Bishop Oyedepo, all those people, Benson Idahosa, people like that you heard, most of them, either directly or indirectly, were heavily affected by this man. I just imagine that he's his type that could have spiritually put an end to that war. Are you getting the point I'm making? You understand my point? That is, dreamers lying down, that's not what we're talking about, but dreamers who are awake, because they understand that they will see when the Lord will restore the captivity of the land. So let me tell you what, the one naira they plant when things are tough is easy to multiply to 10,000 when things become rosy. But those who put in maybe 10 naira when things become cool, the money will just increase maybe to 12 to 13. Listen, the time you sow your seed is when the ground is dry. And that's when you get a lot of reward, because most people at that time will not sow. Do you understand my point? But when everybody sees that it is happening, then they start sowing. Then that reduces the effect of each seed. Do you understand the point I am making? All right, so now, there is just, before time's sake, let me just summarize this. Watchmen are meant to see. I expect you to read newspaper. Watch network news. It's important. Please, don't buy all those funny magazines that they cook behind somebody's backyard, who they lie. And if you see any magazine that stirs up strife, you understand? The way you stir up strife is by always blaming and accusing people. You understand my point? Just know that that is a kind of newspaper you should not be reading. Read newspapers that give you information. Read magazines that give you information. There's this funny 2020 naira magazine they sell only in Eastern Nigeria about actualization of the sovereign state of Biafra. You know, I always laugh because I know something about printing. I know somebody sits in his backyard. He and two boys will sit down, write a story, print it out for the equivalent of about 3 naira a copy, sell it on the road for 2020 naira. And there are people who come. Some guys are making millions from misinforming everybody. Do you understand my point? Look, listen, there are very short ways to making money, you know. No, for time's sake, I won't gist you some of them, and they are evil ways, so I won't teach you anyway. But that's one of the evil ways. You know what people want to read, so you print it for them. That's an evil way to make money. Obasanjo, that's our president, said something once, that he asked one of the editors of these national dailies, say, why do you write these things? And you know they are not true. Said the man, said, oh God, we have to sell now. I'm serious. Listen to me, if you're ever in those kind of shoes, listen. Don't ever feel you have to sell. Tell the truth. Prosperity is a reward. Do you understand my point? It's not selling skill. It's a reward. If you tell the truth, you know, I was, Kingsley, okay, wasn't you I was talking with? It was one of my friends, IK. I was telling him the other time that, listen, Reader's Digest. You know Reader's Digest? They are a magazine that don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell the truth. They are incurable optimists. They said it themselves that we know. I think they are 100-year anniversary. They wrote that we are known for being incurable optimists and we are proud of it. They write what they feel is the truth. They don't try to make you happy. They don't try to make you sad. You understand my point? Then they put a lot of jokes and things like that just to cheer you up. But with the news, they just tell you the truth. They try to bring, you know, the other day they were talking about one of the ones I was reading, talking about teenage pregnancy. They're talking, you know, you see this, they don't preach the gospel there. They give straight morals. You understand my point? But you see them when they are telling a story, when the man went to pray, they will put it, he prayed here. Then how the miracle occurred, it will be part of the story. Just give them a story that can be documented. You understand my point? And they will print it. They've been there for decades. Do you know how many copies they sell every month? 27 million copies monthly is sold in 19 different languages by Reader's Digest. They don't write to please anybody. Do you get my point? No, do you understand? Time magazine is a weekly magazine. When they have beautiful horse stories, they sell 350,000 copies in a week. Oh, it surprised you. Time magazine does not sell 500,000 copies a week. Yet they are a big company. Worldwide, they don't sell 500,000 copies, no matter how good the story is, in a week. I'm not abusing them. I read their own analysis. Do you understand my point? I read it several years ago. But Reader's Digest, that is fair to all men, sells 27 million copies monthly in 19 different languages. Listen, tell the truth and the devil will really be ashamed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You understand my point? That is, we're not talking about dreamers that are lying down. We are talking about dreamers that are awake and alive and are ready to put their investment in the places where they are praying for God to bring prosperity. I have to stop now because of time. I still had a few other things I wanted to say, but I'm sure this is not the end of all these teachings, because I was going to say something about the spiritual manifestation in prayer. Let me just read the scripture and then I won't discuss it. Open to Romans chapter 8. There are times in prayer that a burden grips you that is not exactly what you pray for. That is not exactly what you planned for. But things happened. Sometimes when you have a burden, that is, you have something you want, but you don't even know how to articulate words. Why I want to explain this is that I'm not trying to say in any way that you always have a simple and straightforward word to say in prayer. Sometimes you don't. But like I was giving you an example last time, when Oral Roberts began to pray in other tongues, and the prayer he was praying was in Swahili, and he was just saying simple statements in Swahili, but he did not even know what he was saying. But what was it that was happening? The Spirit was helping his infirmity when he did not know how to pray. You understand my point? I'll just read this scripture and close with it. I won't even bother to explain it because my time is gone. Verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not, that is, always know how to pray as we should. For the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What I wanted to go on to earlier, that is from here, which I do not have time to do now, was to say some things about the spiritual impartation of burdens, spiritual expressions in prayer. And like the scripture says here, it's not every time that what is coming forth from your heart, especially as empowered by the Spirit, can be uttered in articulate speech. You understand my point? But there are times that all the man just does is groan and sigh deeply. Like you hear that when Jesus was approaching the tomb of Lazarus, he was groaning in himself. You understand my point? Now, we don't have time to explain all that. You may have heard the story of Father Nash, who used to pray along with Charles Finney. Those are the kind of manifestations. For time's sake, please, we can't go into, but I will refer you to them, because I don't want to return to this topic again after today. I want us to go to something else. So I will refer you, I will just encourage you to read the life of other people. In fact, interestingly enough, this book by Kenneth Hagin, which I said contains a lot of experience that he had with God, I think is a good book to read, The Art of Prayer. It used to be called The Art of Intercession, but I think every believer should read it. But just bear in mind that it has a lot of experiences that Kenneth Hagin had before God. I'm a bit careful when people build experience. You build doctrines based on experiences. But if you have doctrine, the experiences are very good to explain the word of God to you. Understand? So that book by Kenneth Hagin is a very beautiful book, and I recommend everybody should read it. Read stories on intercession and all that, written by people like Charles Finney and Co. And it will bless you. And I believe that with that, we are going somewhere great in a country like Nigeria, as people like us rise up to. We are too many here. Too many, that we are more than enough to speak positively on the nation's behalf towards God for us not to have an effect. You understand my point? Even one, two of us. Again, we don't have time to go into talking about prayer of agreement. And that's just simple. Once we are agreement, doesn't mean that we're necessarily joining hands. You know, once somebody can be in Lagos and I'm in Enugu, and we are agreed because we are saying the same things concerning the same situation that's affecting us. You understand my point? Let me close at this time, then we'll take a few announcements. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what you have spoken to us today. We thank you, Lord, for enlightening our hearts. Lord, we make our commitment at this time that we'll take up our responsibility as watchmen. We'll open our eyes and we'll not give you rest until you establish Nigeria, until you establish our families, until you establish our states, until you establish things that concern us as praises on this earth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father God. In Jesus' name.